Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's our Pets and Vets program for the month, and here to take your calls are Drs. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga, and Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Sekuli is the founder of the Just Cats Clinic, which provides specialized care for felines, as you may have guessed from the name. A graduate of the University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine, she's a member of the American Association of Feline Practitioners and the American Veterinary Medicine Association. She also started Scruff, a volunteer nonprofit organization dedicated to the needs of feral and stray cat colonies. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets, frequently using holistic approach. She earned a doctorate in veterinary medicine from The Ohio State University, and I got to ask you about that in a minute,
okay?
Because on your bio it says The Ohio State University. I just call it Ohio State University, and specializes in veterinary acupuncture, end-of-life care for animals, and anesthesia-free dentistry. Hey, doctors, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
It's almost over now, but the intro is not over, so I'm going to continue. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Now, you can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You could comment below today's Vox Pop post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag Vox Pop. And you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But call if you like. We like that too. It's a call-in show. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Remember, if you are using social media or email, try to provide as much information as you can on your pet, including their age and sex. So there you go. Well, Dr. Sekuli, you've been on this program before. I can't believe it was June.
Of last year, yes.
And you got a good memory. You said you had homework.
I did.
So what's up with that?
Last time I was on, I was questioned about fluoride ingestion for cats,
mm-hmm.
and I said that I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I went online, of course, which is where everyone goes.
Sure.
And discovered
where all the true information is.
Exactly. And yes, fluoride is not so good for animals. And cats, kidney problems can occur with higher levels. So avoiding fluorinated water is appropriate.
Well, thank you for doing your homework.
You're welcome.
Very nice indeed. So that brings us to Dr. Chris Dallas, who, in addition to being fully schooled, accredited, and experienced in traditional veterinary techniques, also does the holistic approach, which we'll talk about in a minute. But as far as anesthesia-free dentistry for pets, that sounds like a terrifying thing for you to do.
It can be, and I have to say most patients are not a candidate. So there are really just a few dogs and a few cats, believe it or not, who will tolerate it, but the circumstances have to be just right.
Well, I mean, also, they got to be pretty laid back.
Yes. Yes.
Or is Valium, does Valium count as anesthesia?
I don't use it personally.
So but you go no
nothing
no
at all.
Downers or anything?
I'll use acupuncture to relax them.
Amazing.
Sometimes. Yeah. But it's not always successful. Or sometimes we have to do two sessions. And there also can't be a ton of tartar. So it really is not the type of situation that every patient would be a candidate for. But when it works, it's pretty cool.
It's Pets and Vets, if you haven't noticed, and we're joined today by Drs. Susan Sekuli and a newcomer, Dr. Chris Dallas. You mentioned acupuncture,
yes.
And we've had many vets on this show,
mm-hmm.
or at least some, who do that
mm-hmm.
on occasion.
Yep.
And in the discussions I've had with them, it always struck me that it's double-edged sword with doing acupuncture with animals. Number one, we should state at the outset, there are those who are skeptical.
Sure.
Humans
sure.
who are skeptical about acupuncture.
Sure.
With acupuncture on pets, it seems to me that, one, there's no chance for them to fake it or to psych themselves into thinking it works, and two, they can't tell you if it works or not. So how do you handle that situation?
Well, that's what's really interesting about doing this on animals is that you're eliminating the placebo effect, which is what creates a lot of the skeptics in the first place. Their argument is that you really are just convincing yourself you feel better.
Yeah.
So in veterinary medicine, we don't have that effect. What we look for really are observable results. So I want to see if I have a patient who comes to me who's not walking because they're either paralyzed or they're old and very weak in the hind end, I want to see them walk. And if they don't walk, then we haven't gotten results. The same goes true for some pretty obvious, you know, clinical signs. If you have gastrointestinal diseases, you can monitor stool and see if it changes and if it gets better, if the vomiting has stopped. Does the skin clear up? So we actually have to go beyond just feeling better, making them feel better. We don't know when they feel better necessarily, unless there's some changes in their behavior. But other than that, we actually need to see observable results.
In all your experience, Susan, have you seen acupuncture work in a good percentage of critters?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is why it's made me a firm believer in it, because exactly what Chris said, that we are seeing these cats that just turn around with the holistic approach only. It's wonderful.
But Chris, is there a point where your traditional Western, for lack of a better term, medical upbringing says, hey, this ain't going to work. We got to drug this critter.
Yeah, I think it's actually really critical to know where to draw the line and to know where one type of medicine is appropriate and when the other is inappropriate. And sometimes they're both appropriate together. That's really where the true power comes, is to know, you know, I can take a patient who's failed at conventional treatments and possibly turn them around. If I can't, we've at least tried. But I have had to turn down clients who are looking for a holistic approach for something that it would actually be dangerous for them to try.
That's a fascinating concept. So glad you are both here today. Well, the phone lines are loaded. You ready?
We're ready.
All right, here we go. Let's start it off. 1-800-348-2551. We start it with Janelle in Pittsfield. Hi, Janelle. You're on.
Hi. Thank you. So my boyfriend has a dog who has a fairly high prey drive. She wants to chase everything smaller than her. And I have three cats.
Oh, dear.
So I'm wondering if this is something that with training we could possibly work with, you know, so we could all live harmoniously together, or, you know, and if so, how do we go about doing that?
Well, maybe I'll field this one since it's the dog who's the issue, although there might be some comments on the cat side, too. I'm not sure. For the dog, yes, there you definitely have hope that you can make this work, but it's going to require a lot of consistent and constant training, a lot of redirecting, a lot of positive reinforcement. You actually want to create environments and situations where your dog can interact with the cats and be close to them. How do the cats feel about the dog?
You know, I mean, we've let them see each other, you know, from across the room. I think they feed off of the dog, can tell that the dog wants to go chase them, and they kind of feed off of that. But I think if the dog was calm, that they would be okay with the dog.
Yeah, so I would sort of demystify the cats for the dog, and you need to do that by letting there be a lot of close contact, supervised, of course, with a lot of positive reinforcement when the dog is behaving properly. You know, it's really gets very involved as far as telling you techniques, but you might want to consult with a trainer or a behaviorist who can tackle that for you, because it really just takes a few well-timed cues to the dog to teach him or her, you know, how to behave appropriately with the cats.
And I'd probably interject that you make sure that the cats feel like it's still their home and their space, so that they're not in the hiding stage, because that will truly put them at that disadvantage. So giving them high spaces to get up, you know, be able to visualize the dog without any physical interaction would be helpful.
Janelle, thank you very much for the call. So you mentioned positive reinforcement often, and you mentioned that it takes a few times, but I've heard doctors on this program say to train a dog, depending on the age, out of something like this can take a very, very, very long time.
It can, and I know firsthand how hard it can be. I tried to rehab a very sweet pit bull who was highly reactive, and 2.5 years of constant work still didn't get us the results we wanted. It can be very frustrating.
Negative reinforcement is not the way to go?
I can't think of a situation where I would advocate for negative reinforcement.
True. I would totally agree with you. Even scratching for cats, we have started realizing you're giving them negative reinforcement by yelling at them when they're scratching your couch.
Yeah.
So instead, you have to reward them every time they're using the scratching post.
I find it's easier just to buy a new couch every 2 years, frankly. But, you know, that's an interesting. Janelle's call was interesting because I don't know how you would train a cat to feel like, oh yeah, it's still my house, but there's this huge dog that wants to eat me. How do you do that? You can't talk to the cat.
Well, two things. You could keep the dog always on a leash so that they know that they're within a certain distance.
Yeah.
And sometimes even putting the dog in a crate so that then the cat can walk around and know that they're not being attacked by the dog.
Well, I know you're a cat person, and I'm a cat person. Chris?
I'm a cat person. You're and a dog person. I'm both.
Okay.
Well, I can't hang my hat on one or the other.
Good
job.
A long show
I
ahead.
I have both. So
all right, fair enough. Let's take a break here, Zach. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Vox Pop, Pets and Vets. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Wash & Wag Pet Grooming Salon, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Professionally trained groomers, organic, natural products, no cage drying, Facebook, and 866-WASH-WAG. Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond, stillwellcpa.com. Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including independent living apartments, home care, and more, kingswaycommunity.com. Ashokan Center, retreats, conferences, family celebrations, and school programs, a classroom in the wild, ashokancenter.org. And Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, BoydenandPerrin.com.
Nothing says Pets and Vets like a little James Brown music, eh? Nice. We're joined today by Dr. Susan Sekulli and Dr. Chris Dallas. And we take your pets and vets questions today, and back to the phones we go. Robin and Colony. Robin.
Hi. I have a 7-year-old Weimaraner, and about a year ago, I run with her on the streets of my neighborhood, and about a year ago, she started breaking out in blisters on different paws, depending on, you know, when. It could be her front paws or back paws. During the summer, especially, she was getting it. I think it was probably from the fertilizer from people's lawns going into the street. And in the winter, the salt is awful. So over last summer, we put her on a long-term antibiotic, and we kept her off the streets, and it healed up. And I've been keeping her not from running. It's really hard to take her for walks. It's hard to take her for runs now. She won't wear anything on her feet really well. And now this winter, I haven't even taken her on the streets, and her feet are cracking from the cold. I don't know if it's just she's being more sensitive because she's older, or is this something I should be worried about? And how can I get her back out on the streets?
Okay, so a couple of things I'm thinking about. It sounds like definitely choosing times that it's appropriate for her to be on the pavement is certainly key, and it sounds like you're on top of that. You know, a hot pavement in the summer is just not, it's not fair for dogs to have to walk on that. So you can avoid that, obviously, by going early in the morning or in the evenings. I know a Weimaraner needs a lot of activity and exercise to, you know, keep them sane. So now, as far as the ongoing issues that you found this winter with the cracking, I mean, from a holistic perspective, you know, in Western medicine, we don't really have too much to say about that. From a holistic perspective, though, that's a very specific Chinese diagnosis, and we call it blood deficiency. It would really be too much to explain what that means exactly. What is she eating exactly? What kind of food do you feed her?
She's on a grain-free Holistic Select, which she's been on since a puppy, and she has had good results with it. It calms her down. It's pretty all natural.
Do you know what the protein source is?
I'm not positive. I think the one she's on right now is salmon.
Okay.
I mean, an anchovy, I think.
Often a lot of these chronic issues can be handled with a good quality diet. You may want to consider adding in some fresh food for her, specifically some beef. so that you can nourish her blood, so to speak,
okay.
and even some organ meat, although you want to go very slowly with that. This would take a lot of time. Otherwise, I can't really think of anything topical to use. It really is something that has to be healed from the inside out. And yep,
How about coconut oil? I know I've been using that more and more on cats.
Really?
We had a cat that came in with a bad burn on it, pads of its feet. And we used coconut oil with a little bit of lavender oil, the essential oil in it. And oh my gosh, it healed
really?
So much better.
That's a great idea, actually, with some essential oils.
Oh, yeah,
oils.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. At night, especially. And, you know, you want to, or even before you feed your dog or let the dog out in the yard, let's say, so that they don't go and lick it all off.
Yeah.
You want to distract them after you've put something in.
Well, you don't want the animal walking around your house with coconut oil on
it. It actually absorbs really quickly, and it's not as oily. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And just one quickie is maybe running somewhere in
trails
versus out.
I take her for hikes. But I'm not getting my running.
I'm trying to
get her back on the street, and I just think it's terrible how.
Well, good luck.
Hey, Robin, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Bye now. Over to Marilyn and Colony. Marilyn, you're on.
Oh, hi. Yes. I own two cats, a mom and daughter. They're indoor-outdoor cats, and I've noticed over the past few weeks, male cats are coming around. And my question was, do the male cats, can they distinguish the females if they're spayed, because both of my cats are spayed, or do they just know that there's female cats and they mark their territory on my porch?
That's a good question, and that's a tough one to deal with. Yes, they should be able to absolutely tell spayed versus intact females by the estrogen they're producing. The males that are coming around that are intact are most likely just marking their territory and making sure that if a intact female comes around, that that's his space. So it makes it tough for you. That's why I sort of advocate the TNR program of trying to get those guys neutered.
Yeah, I don't know who they belong to. They could be stray. They could be someone else's male cats, maybe. But
so they won't mark if they're fixed, the males?
Typically, it reduces their, I mean, they can, but most of the times it reduces about 95% by spraying, yes.
All right.
I see. Okay, well, thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Thanks.
Over to Joanne. Oh, she's gone. That's not Joanne. Joanne left. Probably couldn't take it. Nita in Hudson. Nita, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about cat behaviors. 2 weeks ago, I adopted two new cats, one male, one female, both 2 years old. And they're not litter mates. I got them from the Humane Society. They're wonderful cats, but sometimes they go at each other. And it doesn't seem to be a regular pattern of fighting. They can sleep on my bed, both of them at night, perfectly fine all day. They eat out of each other's bowls. And then one will look at the other, and it's like gangbusters, and they go at each other, and then they run away again.
They're like people, aren't they?
They are like, it's like sometimes they don't recognize each other. It's like, who is this strange cat?
Who are you?
And the little female has a nick on her ear from the male. The other day, my mom was petting them, and he went right up to her and swatted her and got her collar off of her. She's not scared of him because she'll stalk him when he's in the litter box. And I don't know if they're just bored or, you know, if this is something I should worry about. Will this calm down as they get used to living in my house?
All right, Dr. Sekouli, this is all you.
Okay. Yeah, I saw Chris looking at me saying, all right, I'll take this one. I think you hit a part of it on the head there. I think they're a little bored. I think they're looking at each other for play time. There's been research out that if they were to watch cats out in the wild, they spend at least 20 to 40% of their time exploring and prey hunting. So we've brought them inside. They're figuring out how to play with each other. So if you can play with them and provide an opportunity to sort of wear off some of that energy prior to them getting together, I think you'll find a happier interaction.
Okay. Well, I have a very small apartment. It's two rooms. I had, when my old cat died, I got the two cats to keep each other company.
Yeah.
Because I work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be out of the house 5, 6, 8 hours at a time, and I wanted them to have friends, you know?
And I think you can still have that. I don't think I would get rid of either one of them. It's just adjusting.
Oh,
you have a
no, I would never get rid of my
Do you
baby.
Have a cat tree? Something that they can climb
I have
climb
a little
up?
Cat tree for them so that they can look out the window.
Okay.
Right now, they're snooting at each other and charging each other, and it was the little female who started it this time.
Ah.
She is a fresh piece of baggage, according to my mother.
Well, good luck. You know, cats, and I've had many in my life, they have tremendous personalities. Is it just common that they want to wake up in a bad mood and say, you know what, I'm sick of you?
They are like people, right?
Yeah, they really are.
I agree.
We are joined today by Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. It is Pets and Vets, hence the animal chat. Colleen in Ellenville. Colleen, you're on.
Oh, hi. I'm calling because my dog, Chicho, seems to have a cold that won't go away, and I didn't know. Do dogs get colds? He has sinus congestion in his right nostril, and it started out just as dripping, and now it has manifested into a little bit of, like, green mucusy oozing a little bit every
boy.
Once in a while. And I don't know. I mean, I'm concerned because he's got a little bit of Beagle in him. So when he walks on the road, all the salt and sand is like drying up now. So he's sniffing all of that up while he's trailing all the animals on the road that springs here. And I'm afraid that maybe that's drying out his sinuses more. So I'm having a hard time getting rid of this.
Okay.
And he's had it for 2 weeks. And I use homeopathy. I started out with a Pulsatilla 30C.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him a couple of those remedies, and then I amped it up to a Cali Bichromicum.
All right, you're going to have to tell us what that is, Doc. I have no idea what that is. Okay, well, you don't know?
No, I don't. Oh, I'm sorry, no.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What was the last thing that you gave?
The last thing, I might be mispronouncing it, Cali Bichromicum. 30C for nasal congestion. I have it in homeopathic
okay.
remedy kit.
Another homeopathic. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, to answer your question, yes, dogs can get colds.
Okay.
And they actually can get our colds on occasion. We had the swine flu that went through our house several years ago, and our cats actually caught
Yikes.
It.
Yikes.
Yeah, so it was zoonotic. Zoonoses are diseases that can pass from one species to the other, and that we always worry about zoonoses affecting us, but we can actually infect our pets as well. But with your dog, how old is your dog?
He's 8 years old.
8 years old. Okay. So what I'm a little concerned about is the chronicity of it, meaning how long it's been going on and the fact that it's gone from clear to, you know, more opaque, and then also the fact that it's just coming from one side. So usually if you have a cold, you're going to have a runny nose on both sides. So this is one of those situations where I would say definitely consult with your regular vet and get a conventional workup before you go holistic on
that. So this sounds like a sinus infection?
Possibly, although sinus infections, we don't see them too much in dogs. Usually, I mean, one thing you worry about in a beagle would be a foreign body. Mm-hmm. When I lived in California, we were always pulling grass awns out of their noses. It's been winter, so the chances of a seed or something going up there are less likely. But I definitely would, this would definitely warrant a visit to your vet.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. Do you think if it is an object that's obstructing and causing inflammation and infection, how on earth would they remove that?
It's tricky. A lot of times you have to clear the infection first. This would be a secondary infection, so he would get on a round of antibiotics, and then you have to take a scope up their nose. It can be a tricky procedure.
He's not going to like that.
I know.
No.
He won't be awake for that.
Yeah, that'll be with anesthesia.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good luck with that, Colleen. We appreciate it. So does the color of the discharge indicate something, the green?
How long it's been going on.
Okay.
Yeah, and the secondary bacterial involvement.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 1-800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today. Roseanne in Poughkeepsie is on. Roseanne.
Good afternoon. I have a question about my dog, Sophie. She's a rescue. I've had her for about 4 years. She's an older dog, a Labrador, I'm thinking boxer mix maybe. And the issue is, she's very attached to me, and the issue is whenever I am sitting with her, anywhere, on a chair, on a couch, in my bed, if somebody else is sitting with us, invariably she will urinate wherever we are.
Ouch.
And if it's just her and I, she's fine. But if there's somebody else there, she pees. Okay. And I don't know why.
That sounds like an anxiety issue, possibly. Mm-hmm. Is she an anxious dog at all or possessive of you?
Yeah, she's really anxious. She's not possessive of me, but okay. She's definitely anxious. I don't know her past history.
Yeah.
But she definitely is an anxious dog.
Yeah, so that sounds like sort of a submissive urination. And I would just try to avoid the situation if you don't want to get into a really involved process. And again, this is behavioral, so most likely behavioral, since it's not happening at other times. Then you could consult with a behaviorist on that to try to help her through her anxiety, try to help improve that a little bit. Herbs can sometimes help. You'd have to consult with a holistic vet on that. But otherwise, the easy fix on that one is just avoid having people come up to you when you're on the couch with
her. So sedatives, not the...
Oh, yeah, no, that would definitely... In fact, that could make it worse.
Really?
Yeah, because then she'd be loopy and out of sorts. And
chai tea or something?
Right. I mean, lavender, you know, you could... Yeah, I mean, you can use things that have sort of a calming effect. You could diffuse essential oils. But I think that's going to be a drop in the bucket compared to what she would probably really need in terms of behavioral modification.
Roseanne, you probably don't want to hear the term drop in a bucket. But anyway, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. Let's go over to Harriet in Woodstock. Harriet, you're on.
Hi. Yes, thank you. A couple of things. One is a question, and one is that I just like to put in a good word for animal acupuncture and human acupuncture.
Yes, thank you.
I have had two dogs treated with acupuncture. One was a little ancient. I adopted her. I took her home as a hospice dog. She was supposed to die. You know, I wanted that she would die happily, comfortably in a little house. And I got her Chinese medicine and plus other, you know, B12 shots and acupuncture. And she had severe intestinal. She actually had cryptosporidium. Mm. And the acupuncture just was like a miracle for her. And she ended up living like almost a year.
Yeah, it can be amazing. I've had several people bring pets to me for palliative end-of-life care. Please keep them comfortable, Doc. And 2 years later, they're still rolling and doing great and jumping in the car themselves and what have you. It's pretty great.
I think that's why, as veterinarians, we love working with animals. Their will to survive is just unbelievable sometimes. So.
Oh, yes. And the other one was for fear. A dog that I had developed a total phobia over a lamp that had gotten knocked over, and every time I even reached for the lamp, she would just go crazy. And she got acupuncture for fear, and you know, it worked.
Isn't it easier just to get another lamp?
Well, you know, I was attached to that lamp.
I see.
So, but here's my actual question. I have started giving I've had a Parson Russell Terrier. Last year, I started giving him the internal medicine for fleas and ticks that's called NexGard. I don't know if there are other types at the moment. And I wondered, so far, so good. I wondered what your take on that is. I'm happier to give him a pill instead of putting the stuff on his neck and body. But what is your experience and what's your feeling about these?
I'm glad that you asked this because we talked about this prior to the show, and we'll let both Dr. Dallas and Sekouli weigh in on this. So go ahead.
You want to go first? Or?
Yeah, I can. I can start with a lot of the topicals actually end up going systemically so that even though to you think you're providing it in a different avenue, it's still approaching the flea and tick product or prevention in a similar way so that it is through the animal's bloodstream. And then when the animal gets bit or the flea bites them, then it's killed that way. Ray and we were talking earlier before we got on the line about the new Seresto collar that's
right.
a flea and tick collar that we all love.
It's not cheap, though.
It's not, but it lasts for 8 months. So it's actually cheaper than most of the topicals.
And it's one that every vet I've talked to said, well, this is good. Not good for your pet, but not bad for your pet and your children and your house and everything else.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. It is not toxic in the bad sense, and any medication is. So you have to weigh that all in.
All right, Dr. Chris Dallas, we have to take a break in 30 seconds, but if you want to weigh in on this as well.
Yeah, I think I would probably agree with Dr. Sekouli on this one. And, you know, a lot of my clients come here looking for alternatives. And so I actually don't use a lot of these products myself or with my patients. But they can't do much better than something like that for tick preventative, certainly. There is no holistic approach to getting ticks to stay off your dog, except combing and lots of combing.
I like it. Let's take a break, Mr. Zach the Engineer. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. It's Pets and Vets, and believe it or not, the home stretch is straight ahead.
Support for WAMC comes from Hubbard Hall Center for the Arts and Education, Cambridge, New York, presenting Blues and Brews with the Roadside Blues Band, Saturday, hubbardhall.org. Snow Farm Summer, Williamsburg, Massachusetts. The New England Craft Program for students ages 13 through 18. Glass blowing, drawing, ceramics, and more. 2 or 4 weeks intensive instruction in July. Snowfarm.org for information. The Lathrop Communities. Serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years. Independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts. In the heart of the Pioneer Valley. Lathrop.kendall.org. And Underground Railroad History Project. 14th Public History Conference, Breaking Free, Civil War, Emancipation, and Beyond, April 17th through 18th at Russell Sage College, Troy, April 19th at the Myers Residence in Albany, on Facebook.
Vox Pop on WAMC Pets und Vets. Dr. Susan Sekouli and Dr. Chris Dallas here, and your calls at 1-800-348-2551. I think that's a 5 on the sheet, Colleen, is that correct? All right, we'll go to line 5, Joanne in Stratford. Joanne.
Hi. I have a 9-year-old male Weimaraner with a swelling on the first joint above his foot. He's opened it up by licking. It looks like it's healing. I'm concerned, first, what it might be, and second, I feel like it's healing itself, but maybe I should take him to a vet. What do you think?
I would definitely take him to your vet. Is it involving the skin, or is it under the skin?
It seems to be under the skin.
Okay. Yep, I would definitely just take him into your vet. And is he limping at all?
No.
Okay. Then I definitely believe that all lumps should be investigated.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Joanne.
Thank you.
All right, before we get to the next call, quickly, we'll go through a couple of ones. Here's one that came in via Facebook. This is from Rita. My 10-year-old female lab, Luna, has a very large lipoma. Is that the correct word?
Lipoma. Mm-hmm.
Lipoma on her front leg. It's baseball size. It burst about a month ago. My vet's only suggestion was to amputate the leg. The wound is getting smaller and starting to close, but someone suggested there might be some homeopathic remedy that would help to shrink this and possibly eliminate it. What do you think? Also, I'd like to know what kind of could have caused this in the first place. That's from Rita.
Well, lipomas are... they can be insidious little things, and they're not always little. I would say that I really have not found anything that will help that just disappear. I have attempted to shrink them with some herbs with moderate success. Depending on where it is on the limb, I'm kind of surprised to hear that it burst, because they usually don't emerge through the skin. As far as causation, you know, oftentimes I find that dogs that eat dry food tend to develop more lipomas. Dogs that eat fresher home-prepared foods or raw foods almost never have them.
Interesting.
So there is definitely a dietary component to their causation. But as far as what to do at this stage, it's a tough one. I'd have to see it to really give more specific.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that Facebook post. Here's one.
Right up your alley, Dr. Sekouli. This is from Janice in Pittsfield. It came via email. I have a 14-month-old rescued neutered male cat whose litter box is a large plastic sphere with a porthole for the entrance. He does well using the litter box for its intended purpose, but I often find him at odd times of the day and night inside the sphere, batting the litter around wildly and making quite a racket. Why does he do this? What can I do? That's from Janice.
Yeah, I'd like to hear the answer to this one, too. My cat does that as well.
Go ahead, Susan.
I think it all goes back to that playtime.
Oh, yeah, just having fun?
I sure do. And she may want to make another one and just give him a chance to play.
Okay. That
absolutely.
So this is okay.
That's all okay.
But what if it's keeping Janice awake?
Right. Well, then again, play with them before you go to bed. I always encourage that. That's when I find my cats are most wanting my attention,
yeah,
right before I go to sleep.
All right, and let's go back to the phones. And Diane in New Salem. Diane, you're on.
Hi, I have 2 9-year-old Abyssinian cats, and I was wondering if a rabies vaccine is necessary. They're never outside, and the only critters that have ever been in a cell are our field mice. Mm. So I don't want to vaccinate them unnecessarily,
okay,
and I wanted to know what your opinion is.
That's a great question, and thank you so much for calling in. It is very much on the forefront with all of the vaccine concerns, even on the human side, of which vaccines are necessary and which ones are not. I'm pretty confident about my recommendations for rabies vaccine, and I, being a in New York State, it is a required vaccine for cats. So even though they are indoor only, I am pretty adamant about, yes, we should keep it up. That said, there are older cats or ones that are frail that I say, no, we probably shouldn't. And there is a newer vaccine out that a PureVax that is a really safe 3-year rabies vaccine that I am a very strong proponent of.
What are the some of the side effects of the traditional vaccine?
The fibrosarcomas, the tumor-induced, vaccine-induced tumors that would develop. You typically, you know, I went to school quite a while ago, and we had a fair number of fibrosarcomas develop between the shoulder blades, which is where all veterinarians used to give all their vaccines.
So, when you say a fair number, what percentage are we talking about?
You know, I guess if you look at the statistics, maybe 1%.
Oh, okay.
But if that were 1% and that's my cat,
yeah,
there should be none.
No, I hear you.
And if it were on the human side, they would never vaccinate a cat using them. So I'm very adamant about being specifically which vaccines we should use in cats. The dogs don't have the same problem. We don't see the same issues.
Do you know why?
Probably something to do with their immune system. And cats just seem to go to the cancer place from chronic inflammation, and we don't see that as much in dogs. We see it, but not to the same extent.
Wow, that's interesting. All right, over to the phones again. Cindy in Pittsfield. Cindy.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
I have a 5-year-old Great Pyrenees that was given to me, and I already had 2 Siberian Huskies. They already inhabited my space. We were told when we got her that she was the run of the litter, and I thought that's where her eating issues came from. When she is not particularly excited about her bowl and she doesn't eat the whole thing, then she spends the whole rest of the day guarding it. You know, typical Pyrenees behavior, guarding things. She doesn't want me to pick it up. She'll growl at me, et cetera, and so forth. My question, I thought, you know, X amount of years into it, because I got her when she was like about 6 months old, that she would eventually grow out of this, everybody would calm down, it would be okay. It has not gone away yet. Can you please give me some suggestion about how to get through this or over it and make it go away?
Sure, sure. So what you have there is called resource guarding. And that means that she is trying to do her job of guarding. And I would definitely create a more structured environment around food. There should never be dog bowls down. If you are you getting inter-dog aggression? Is that what's happening too with the other dogs? Or is she your only dog?
No, I have two other dogs,
okay.
And the others are not upset about it. It's just her going in for them.
Okay. I wasn't sure if the Huskies were still in the picture. So, yeah, I would. You have to have a very structured environment. When you have a multi-dog household, the old days of just leaving the bowl around and letting them eat when they feel like it really isn't going to work. And I don't recommend that in general for other reasons. So you've got to really, you may, again, want to talk to a trainer. There are a lot of ways to get dogs to get over food aggression. It's actually a pretty easy situation to solve.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Cindy, thanks a lot for the call. We're joined today once again to tell you that we are joined by Dr. Susan Sekouli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Let's go to Peter in Saratoga Springs. Peter, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. About 2 years ago, my wife and I adopted a young cat, maybe an older kitten,
yeah.
We're not sure the age, who has just three legs.
Okay.
The cat lost his front leg of either some kind of a trauma, an accident, or an attack by another animal. So we had the opportunity to adopt the cat. The first year, he was afraid of his own shadow. He would only come out from under the bed or under a couch to eat, go to the bathroom, and that was it. We rarely saw him. The second year that we're into now, he's become friendlier. He jumps on our lap. He likes to be scratched behind the neck and so forth. But once a visitor comes to the house or even a family member comes and visits, he becomes scared and he goes hiding. My question is this. Does a cat with this kind of trauma in its background amenable to introducing another cat into the household or a small dog? Or should we leave the cat to live a life without interruption from a relative?
I think it would be a perfect opportunity to bring in another cat.
Really?
I see many cats that are timid around people are not timid with another cat.
Fascinating.
Yes.
And if you could find a cat with five legs, then you'll have eight altogether.
I hope not, but you never know what's out there.
All right, fair enough. Well, that's
but
great.
When you're looking for that optimal candidate, look for one that is a little less outgoing also to sort of balance his so that he's not going to feel overwhelmed.
Cool.
Good point. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Peter, good luck with that. I hope that if Peter does get another cat, Peter calls us back on the next show and we find out.
That would be great.
Or a couple of shows. It would probably take a few months for the cats. How long would it take if you introduce a cat in a household where one cat has been king for three years, let's say? How long does it take for the cats to acclimate?
I say give them 3 months.
Really?
I do.
So three shows,
always say
Peter.
3 months.
We want to report back. Adrian in Strattsville. Adrian, you're on.
Hi, I have a 12-year-old Chihuahua Minton mix, and he was just diagnosed with an enlarged heart and pulmonary edema. You still there?
Yep, yeah. Yep.
Oh,
go ahead.
Sorry about
That's
that.
That's not good.
Got really quiet all of a sudden.
We're listening.
We're saying
quiet empathy.
Yes.
He has been prescribed three different medications, which he just started. He's on his third day right now. Mm-hmm. And I was just curious if there was anything more I could do to keep him comfortable. The vet had told me that this is kind of like it for him, and the medicine is just here to keep him comfortable until, his time comes. And I just wanted to know if there was anything, more natural that I could do for him or, maybe exercise, do's and don'ts. Any kind of advice you could give?
Yeah, I've actually worked with a lot of patients who are in congestive heart failure and had a lot of success with them in terms of maintaining a high quality of life. And we never know whether we extend their life or not. It would be presumptuous to say that we have, although the owners usually think that we have. And so I don't know where Strattsville is, but I would try to find somebody in your area who's comfortable doing some acupuncture and maybe some supplementation. I like to use standard process herbals to support the heart function. That's a company out of Wisconsin that uses sort of targeted supplementation. It's all prescription-based, though. It's not over-the-counter. But a combination usually of some standard process supplementation and acupuncture can do a lot to help your dog out. And you just have to just follow his lead as far as exercise is concerned. You definitely don't want to push him.
Okay.
Good luck with him.
Thanks a lot for
the call. Okay, thank you so much.
We appreciate it. Over to Max in Turner's Falls. Max, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I have a parakeet.
Right.
And I have two roommates who are just as hard to control as a parakeet,
right.
But they speak the language. So we let him out of the cage during the day, and granted, he doesn't usually like to leave the cage because it's got a mirror in there, and he's content with looking at himself. But I have a really, really large amount of mirrors in my bathroom, and he loves to sit in front of that one specifically because there's a light on it, and I'm sure it provides some sort of warmth. But I was wondering if you guys could suggest anything natural that would keep him away from that specific mirror, because I'm sick of cleaning up after.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's great.
So, I would set up the scenario so that your cleanup is easy. Let him look at himself in the mirror. They really do love sort of the company of another bird. And I would definitely let him indulge in looking at himself.
So it's not vanity?
No, it's
okay.
Not. No,
he thinks it's another bird.
Yeah,
right?
he's keeping good company with himself. So
does he speak, Max?
He tries.
Okay, could you teach him to say "I look marvelous"? That would be really good.
Well, I'll try.
All right.
I would definitely just set up your bathroom though with give him a perch and put some newspaper underneath it so he can poop away and gaze at his lovely self.
Okay, yeah, because I mean I did actually do that recently, but you know, dealing with multiple people in the house, not everybody wants to take responsibility for it. So,
right.
Yeah.
I get that.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's a sentence I've never heard. Poop away and gaze at himself. That's great. Bill and Menands. Bill, you're on.
Yes. I have a question. I wonder how intelligent really dogs are. Several years ago, our friend of ours encouraged to adopt a poodle, and they used to tell me stories how smart they were, and I would roll my eyes and say, sure. But now that we have him, he's just amazing sometimes, and, like, he can do certain things. Like, he has his own toys, and he play with them, but my wife has stuffed animals. She would never touch those.
Okay.
Which I find amazing. And if I go out into a field, and back of our house is probably besides about 4 or 5 football fields, and there'd be one object that wasn't there the day before, he immediately goes and looks at that object. And the next day he knows that, yeah, I saw that yesterday, so I don't have to investigate that. So I just wonder how their minds work.
Okay. Fair enough. That's a tough one to answer, but go ahead. Give it a shot.
Well, let's see. I'm not sure how to answer the question, but I think that dogs are generally, we underestimate their intelligence, and we know that they are capable of pretty extraordinary things. There's one thing that we really don't emphasize very much in Western culture, because we don't understand it, is intuition, and dogs are extremely intuitive, and that's such a nebulous
term.
I'll
pipe in and cats.
Okay.
And cats. Oh, absolutely. And cats more so, I would say.
So you're measuring intelligence on a different scale
absolutely.
Than for animals.
Yeah, exactly.
But intuition, what is intuition? Is it the processing of little cues that your conscious is not getting?
I'm not even sure it's a brain process. I think it may be more of an energetic process,
yes,
possibly.
Yes.
So it's more of a bodily experience.
That's sixth sense.
Now, why did he call with a minute left? This
could
have been the whole
talk about
show.
That.
Absolutely.
Very
yes.
interesting. All right. But do animals have self-awareness?
Million-dollar question.
That's the question.
It's a million-dollar question.
Because I have a robot that has self-awareness. No, I don't.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. We've got a minute left. Sarah and Walter. Sarah, we have about 30 seconds for your question and about 20 for the answer.
Oh,
go ahead.
All right, so my question is about my cat biting me.
Oh, dear.
He does the stalking of my feet thing, but then he'll also just come up to me randomly and bite me for no reason and then run away. He doesn't bite my boyfriend.
Okay.
I'm not sure what to do about it.
And how old is your cat?
He's a little over a year.
Ah, yes. So he's playing with you, and he's chosen you as the better playmate. So always have something behind you so that he can chase after rather than you.
Okay.
And that's why he's doing it toward you versus your boyfriend.
All right. I guess that's a good way to leave it. As long as the cat doesn't draw. The cats tend
to
be.
They can draw blood, but it's just erect them away from your legs and the movement. That's what he's trying to do. So
okay.
It's teaching him how you appropriately play.
Well, this was fun. Dr. Sekouli, great job again.
Thank you.
Dr. Dallas, will you come back?
I would love to. This was a blast.
This was a good time. Thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce. Offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com. Valley Home Improvement, designing and building kitchens, bathrooms, interiors, and additions throughout the Pioneer Valley. Love your home, valleyhomeimprovement.com. The Capital District YMCA, working to help those in need across the Capital Region with scholarships for child care. For membership and more, cdymca.org. And College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years, collegestreetmotors.com. All right, that's it. Wow, that was a busy program. Thanks again for listening and for joining in. Zach Malloy was our engineer. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell, who answered the calls today. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, oh boy, you know spring is here. It's the official return of the gardening show. News is next.